We're preparing to study the book of Galatians. I've already found it a rich study, and I'm looking forward to going through it chapter by chapter. Right now we're just sort of laying the groundwork so that you have some appreciation of what Paul struggled with in the churches of Galatia. The last two Sundays, I've tried to establish the fact that the book is written to brethren. And Paul addresses that in chapter 6, verse 18, when he says, "Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus be with your spirit." So it's written to not just simply those that are saved, but he is writing to those who are serious about entering into the kingdom of the heavens. They are serious about ruling and reigning with Christ. But they are making some mistakes. They are erring from the truth. And Paul is endeavoring to help them to see the error of their way. They began in the Spirit of His Son, that is, they were able to pray, "Abba, Father," as Jesus Christ was able to do that. And when we pray, "Abba, Father," we are praying, "Father, we know that all things are possible to Thee. You can change anything. But it's not our wills that's important. It's His." And that's the spirit of the book of Galatians. We need that spirit. That's the spirit of an adult son. That's the spirit of responsibility. That's the spirit of accountability. And so that's what he is dealing with. The book of Galatians is confusing, or has confused many Bible teachers, I believe, because they have tried to apply the book of Galatians to salvation. And this book is not dealing with salvation, it's dealing with justification. If we expect to rule and reign with Christ in His coming kingdom, we will have to live our lives in such a way that we will hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And salvation will not bring that or provide that for us automatically, as many would suggest. I want to read Galatians chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. Paul says, "Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by faith." Justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. "For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid." I have listed some concepts here on faith and law and salvation that I think is important for us to consider. Faith is a lifestyle. It's not an event. It can be stopped. Law is not an event. It's a lifestyle. And it can be stopped. The moral law, the Ten Commandments, plus those things that the Lord added in His teaching ministry, we can live in the moral law. That is, we would not steal or lie or kill or murder and so forth. And the keeping of the moral law is not an event. It's a lifestyle. I mean, we have to live in obedience to the commandments. The ceremonial law pertains to the ordinances that God gave Moses on the mountain and that were established when the children of Israel set up the tabernacle and the temple in Jerusalem and so forth, where the people came to offer animal sacrifices. So when we see the word law, there's a distinction. There is the moral law and there is the ceremonial law. The ceremonial law can also be stopped. In other words, the children of Israel didn't have to go down to the temple. They were required three times a year. A male was required three times a year to go to the temple, and he could just stop doing it. Now, we don't live under the ceremonial law today. We don't have to go to Jerusalem. We don't offer animal sacrifices. But we are under the moral law. Now, salvation is an event. It either happens or it doesn't. You either believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and that He died on the cross for your sins, or you don't. If you believe, you're saved. If you don't, you're not. Justification is by faith. We just read that we might be justified by faith in Galatians 2:16. And because justification is by faith, and faith is a lifestyle, justification will depend upon your lifestyle. It is not an event. Justification is not an event. It's a process. And the reason it's a process is because it's by faith. Faith is a process. And we know that without faith, it is impossible to please Him. So we have to be pleasing to God if we're going to stand approved. And that's what justification is all about, is being approved. We need to understand from Galatians chapter 3, verse 23, before faith came, we were under the law, shut up unto the faith that should afterwards be revealed. Faith was not revealed until after the ceremonial law was set aside. And the men who live by faith, according to Hebrews in chapter 11, that faith was reckoned unto them. We'll see that in our studies, and you can find that in Romans chapters 4 and 5. Primarily chapter 4. But before faith came, the nation of Israel, as well as Gentiles, saved Gentiles, were locked into the law, the ceremonial law. And then after that, then faith was revealed. Paul asked them the question, "Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, don't you hear the law?" Paul is asking them, "Don't you know what happens when you try to keep the ceremonial law?" This is what he's talking about here, because there were Jews, there were people who were saved that appreciated the coming kingdom, and they believed that they had to keep the ceremonial law, circumcision, going down to the temple, having vows, and so forth. And Paul says, "Don't you hear what the law provides for you?" Galatians chapter 4, verse 30. It says, "Nevertheless, what saith the Scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heirs with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we're not of the children of the bondwoman, but the free." The law tells us that there are two inheritances. Or the word of the Scriptures do, tells us that there are two inheritances. There's Ishmael and Isaac. Ishmael is a picture of the bondwoman. And they will have an earthly inheritance. And in type and in picture, that inheritance is outside the land flowing with milk and honey. Ishmael's inheritance was outside the land flowing with milk and honey. But Isaac's inheritance was the land that God promised to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. The law will not provide a heavenly inheritance. The law, or the keeping of the ceremonial law, will not provide a heavenly home. You'll be saved. There's no question about that. It's just that your inheritance will be here on the earth and not in the heavens. And he was trying to help them to understand that. So that's what the law will provide, if that's the way we want, if you want to live. One of the things that we don't struggle with that ceremonial law today. Let me just stop here a moment briefly and just sort of help us to relate to the law. Today there is a law according to man that you touch not, taste not, handle not. These have to do with the commandments of men. And did you know there are people today that think that if you will obey my set of laws, you will stand in good, you will hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." That's the problem we have today, is that is man's laws. What man says. Well, like for instance, man says, if to really be holy, you can't wear lipstick. No lipstick. To be holy, you can't wear any jewelry. No jewelry. And ladies, no pants. You know, I've heard that. So there are a list of things that people have, and those things, those list of rules, so to speak, people think if you do them, you will be justified, or you will be unchargeable. And the list goes on, by the way. No movies, no cards, no sleeveless blouses. You know, the list goes on and on. You really don't hear a lot of that unless you've gone to a Bible college or school. That's where you hear most of those things. But anyway, and I'm not saying that some of those things are not good, okay? I'm not saying that to live a separated life, there are certain things that you do need to avoid. You don't want to have a bad testimony. You don't want to visit places that when people see you come out, that they say, he approves of going to strip clubs. You don't need to be going there. Or whatever. I mean, that's pretty extreme. Our bars, you might get the wrong idea. That's the whole thing. But anyway, so we need to appreciate the fact that in Paul's day it had to do with the ceremonial law. Today we struggle with man's law, man's requirements, which we will see here briefly. Now, justification is defined in Romans 8:33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Justification is to stand unchargeable. And notice that it is God that justifieth. That is the word justifieth is a present active participle. What that means to me is this. It's an ongoing process. The present tense, you would draw with a line. It's an ongoing process. Justification is not an event. It's an ongoing process. And that ongoing process is sinning. And when we sin, we are what? Chargeable. When we confess that sin, What happens? We are not chargeable. But did you know that there are some things in our lives, there are some sins in our lives that we will not confess and we will not repent of? And you know what that means? That when you stand in His presence, you will be chargeable for that sin of lawlessness. So, 1 John 1:9 tells us, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we do not confess our sins, He is faithful and just to charge us with unconfessed sin. And we will have to deal with that at the judgment seat. Now, looking back to Galatians chapter 2, verse 16 and 17, it says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. Notice that the word justified is also in the present tense. It is passive, in other words, the works of the law being acting upon us, but the point I want to give you, it's just a continuous process. And this justification is on the basis of faith, which is also a continuous process. And you and I both can make shipwreck of the faith. We can depart from the faith. And if we depart from the faith, justification process comes to a screeching halt. Why? Because we are not pleasing God. And that's what justification is all about. Hearing, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Then notice what Paul says. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ. This word believed here is in the aorist tense. Paul says, we have believed in Jesus Christ. We have been saved. That we might be justified by faith. Notice that the word might is included. The implication is, we might not. And the reason why we might not is because we may make shipwreck of the faith. We may stop pleasing God. And we become chargeable. So, we might be justified by faith, pleasing God, a lifestyle that does not fail. And not by works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. For if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. I included verse 17 because of the word seek. Paul says, we are seeking to be justified. And the word seek is also in the present tense. This is something that we need to be doing all the time. We need to be seeking to please God all the time. And we do it by being faithful to Him in that regard. Hebrews 11:6, without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. I remind you that faith is the essential ingredient that makes it possible for us to please God. Hebrews 11:1 tells us, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. Faith, that which pleases God, is the substance, or it gives substance to things that we hope for. What is the hope of a Christian? The hope of a Christian is to have a heavenly inheritance. The hope of a Christian is to have glory and honor in His coming kingdom. And what faith does is it gives substance to that inheritance. It gives substance to that glory. And because it gives substance to those good things that are coming, because Jesus Christ is the high priest of good things to come, Hebrews 9:11, it will produce evidence in our life. Faith will produce evidence. What kind of evidence? Obedience. Obedience tells us, or a lifestyle of obedience is the evidence that we need, or it should produce, of things not seen or yet hoped for. In other words, for us to have a heavenly inheritance, we need to live by faith. And that is the evidence, or that would be the evidence of our lifestyle. Now, again, emphasizing justification is a process. Galatians 3:8. The scriptures foreseeing that God would justify the heathen or the Gentiles through faith, that is their lifestyle, not an event, preach before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations, both Jew and Gentiles, be blessed. So we see that God is in the process of justifying those of us who are willing to live by faith. In Acts chapter 13, and this is a process, and it's a continuing process. Acts chapter 13, verse 39. And by him all that believe, present active, the lifestyle of faith, are justified. Present passive. In other words, we do our part, God does his part in forgiving and cleansing and restoring our fellowship with him. That's the passive part of justification. Again, being justified is not an event, but an ongoing process. From all things for which we could not be justified by the law of Moses. So, those who believe in the present tense, that's being faithful. Now, in Galatians chapter 3, verses 11 through 13, it goes on to say that no man is justified, present passive, by the law, the ceremonial law, in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith, in verse 13. For the just shall live by, verse 11, shall live by faith. Notice that the word just is included. This is saved, yet obedient. Obedient to what? It's obedient to the moral law. When God did away with the law, it was the ceremonial law that he did away with. But he has not done away with the moral law. And so, it's the just that live by faith. If you're not obedient to the moral law, you cannot live by faith. If you're living in sin, you can't please God. Romans tells us that whatsoever is not of faith is what? Sin. Now, in verse 12 it goes on and it says, and the law is not of faith. The law, ceremonial law, even the moral law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree, on a tree. We have been redeemed from the curse of the law. Well, what is the curse of the law for those of us who know about a heavenly inheritance? The curse of the law is to have an earthly inheritance. And Jesus Christ has redeemed us from that curse. What has he redeemed us unto? He has redeemed us unto a heavenly inheritance. He has made it possible for us who are saved to please him and to have positions of honor and glory in his coming kingdom. When he says, well done, thou good and faithful servant, you have been faithful over a few things, I will make you ruler over many things. The reward of the faithful is to rule and reign with him in his coming kingdom. Not piles of gold and crowns and things that have no authority. It's the authority of ruling and reigning. That's the blessing. And if you were called unto his kingdom in glory and missed it, and you find yourself here on the earth not reigning over the earth but being reigned over, That's a curse. What is the curse for the nation of Israel today? The curse of the nation of Israel today is not living in the land. They have been scattered over the whole earth. And of course, that is because they rebelled against God. And so therefore, the curse that God gave Moses for those, for the children of Israel, if you do not obey me, I'm going to scatter you all over the earth. And let me tell you, God was faithful to that promise, and they are scattered everywhere. They're coming back, but that hadn't been completed yet, but it will be one day. So, the curse for us is to want to be in the heavenly land, or the land flowing with milk and honey, and be denied it. But God has redeemed us from that curse of losing our inheritance, being here on the earth, so we can enjoy the blessings of a heavenly inheritance. In Romans chapter 3, verse 20, it says, "Therefore, by the deeds of the law," that is, I believe, the moral law, "there shall no flesh be justified in His sight." And this, by the way, is deeds alone. Obedience, just obedience alone, is not going to qualify you to rule and reign or to be justified. "For by the law," that is, the moral law, "is the knowledge of sin," that is, a deeper knowledge of sin. And and this is dealing with the moral law, and I believe verses 11 through 18 establish that fact. So by the deeds of the law alone, the moral law, no flesh shall be justified, because you have to be just. If you're obedient to the moral law, you are just. But the just are the ones who can live by faith. If you're disobedient to the moral law, you cannot live by faith. Romans 3:31 says, Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. We establish the law. That is, the moral law. We're not establishing the ceremonial law. That's not what the purpose of it is. The ceremonial law has been set aside. Jesus Christ was the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. It's Jesus Christ's blood on the mercy seat in the heavenly tabernacle that is sufficient for us. Now, 1 Timothy gives us a little insight into the moral law, verses 8 and 9. "But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully, knowing this, that the law is not made for a just man." If you're living a just life, you're not under the law. It's only when you begin to break the law that you're under it. When you exceed the speed limit, you're under the law. If you go below the speed limit, you're not under the law. You're being obedient, but let's continue. "For the lawless, the law is for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly, for sinners, for unholy, profane, for murderers of fathers, murderers of mothers, manslayers, and so forth." So the moral law has been established, and we need to abide by it. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 24, it says, "Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith." The Old Testament is a picture to help us to appreciate the significance of living by faith in the New Testament so that we can have a better inheritance. All you have to do is just read in the Old Testament about how Reuben and Gad and Manasseh and Ammon and Moab and Ishmael and Esau, all of these people that were descendants of Shem, who had the God, who was talked about the God of Shem, all of these had inheritances outside the land. The other nine tribes had inheritances in the land, flowing with milk and honey. So, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, Not for salvation in this respect, because this is not dealing with salvation. This is dealing with justification, that we might be justified by faith. Justification by grace applies, because in Romans 3:24, being justified, present active or present passive, freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. The redemption is from the ceremonial law, which we have already read. And this justification is by grace. And we know that you can't have grace if you don't have what? Faith. You cannot have grace apart from faith. We access this grace by faith, Romans 5:2. Romans 3:26. He says, "To declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus." The word "believeth" should be translated "of faith." And He is the justifier, present active, continuous process. Then in Romans 3:27, it says, "Where is boasting then? Is excluded by what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith." Did you know that there's a law of faith? What is the law of faith? Well, I don't have it included in today's lesson, but what the law of faith really deals with is in James 2:14. You say you have faith and no works? I'll show you my faith by my works. The law of faith says that faith is dead if there is no works included. That's the same thing as that you say you have faith. Where is the evidence of that faith? And in Hebrews 11:1 says that faith gives substance to things that we hope for, and the evidence that those things are real is our lifestyle, a lifestyle of faith, of pleasing God. So the law of faith is necessary. That is, our faith has to have works or evidence of the fact that we do have hope. In Romans 3:28 it says, "Wherefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith in addition to the deeds of the law." The word "without" can be translated "in addition to." And you find that in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 28. Paul says, "Besides the burden of the church, I have other burdens." That's what it's talking about. And this is true. A man cannot be justified without being obedient to the moral law. You cannot be justified by faith if you do not obey the moral law. And that is to be just. Now, I want to conclude with some verses in Hebrews and in Peter and in Colossians where it says, Hebrews 10:38, "Now the just shall live by faith, but if a man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him." You can be just, obedient to the moral law. You can be living by faith. You can be pleasing God, a lifestyle of pleasing God. And then you can draw back. You can make shipwreck of the faith. You can make shipwreck of pleasing God. And the Lord says, if you do that, my soul will have no pleasure in you. And if He doesn't find pleasure in you, you will not be justified. But we're not of them who draw back unto perdition or to ruin, but of them that are of faith to the saving of the soul. The saving of the soul is an expression given in the New Testament that has to do with ruling and reigning with Christ. You find that in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 8 through 9, where it says, "Whom having not seen you love," present active, "in whom though now you see him not, yet believing," present active, Ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. This is not getting saved in the sense of believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. This salvation of the soul is for life in the coming kingdom age. Because of love in the present tense and believing in the present tense in verse 8. If you love me, present active, you will keep my commandments. That makes you just. Now, I told you about the law today. I want to just conclude that with Colossians chapter 2, verses 20 through 23. Wherefore, if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why as though living in the world are you subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using. You know what? You try to do all these things, you get tired of them pretty quick. And they are after the commandments and the doctrines of whom? Men. It's pious, so-called pious people that are trying to tell you how to live. This book right here is the only book to tell you how to live. You don't have to listen to what man thinks you ought to do. This is what you need to be doing. There are some people that say, oh, you eat meat? Shame on you. You know, shame on you. You're not very, you know, you're not living like Adam and Eve. You got to eat them vegetables. Adam and Eve ate those vegetables and that fruit. And that really, you know, they were really close to God. And if you eat meat, you're not there. Shame on them for pointing your finger. That's the weak and beggarly elements. It's, you know, and there is a show of wisdom in will worship, but in humility, we need to worship, we need to be humble. And there are times when we need to refuse our body certain things. Paul says, I keep my body under subjection so that I don't slip off into some sin that would disqualify me. But in verse 22, it says, which things have indeed a show of wisdom and will worship and humility and neglect of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. There's no honor in this for you. All it does is satisfy your flesh. And not only does it satisfy your flesh, it satisfies my flesh if I can make you do what I want you to do. We're not under that bondage. We're not under the ceremonial law, neither are we under man's law. We're not under any man's ordinances. Our desire is to stand approved and to be justified and to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well, we will pick up in chapter 1 of Galatians, Lord willing, next week and begin our study of this book. And I hope you can appreciate the groundwork that we have laid to help us to approach this book in a proper frame of mind. This book is not dealing with how to get saved, contrast the faith and the law. This book is how to please God and stand approved in His presence and receive the inheritance that God promised to Abraham, which is a heavenly inheritance. Father, I just pray that You would help us as we endeavor to please You with our walk. We pray, Lord, that You'd help us to be just and then live by faith, crying, Abba, Father. Knowing that all things are possible unto Thee, nevertheless, not our wills, but Thine be done. We know that by praying, Abba, our lifestyle is a lifestyle of trust and faith and confidence in You. Your Word is forever established in heaven. We need to put Your Word before our feelings or our desires, because it is Your Word that reveals Your will, and it is Your will that needs to be done in each of our lives. Help us, Lord, to respond to that in obedience and trust. In Jesus Christ's name we pray.
Amen.